الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, in organization consulting, I do an exercise with organizations, helping them to arrive at their core purpose of existence, why they exist, and to arrive at their core values and to develop a vision out of that. And the reason for that is because it's only when you are clear about the purpose of your existence can you leverage your strengths. If you don't know why you exist, then you don't know what to do with your strengths. And this is organizationally and personally, it's also borne out. There's a very actually two very interesting and good books that I recommend. One is called Built to Last. Built to Last, which is a set of case studies of about, I think, totally about 36 global world leaders, world leading organizations, major multinationals. A case study of them done by two, the authors are Jim Collins and a guy called Porras. So Collins and Porras. From Stanford. So they did this research and they published this book, and they propounded a theory as to why these global organizations seem to outlast everybody else and why they survive through major crises. So it's not that they do well during good times, but they do well during bad times. And the key theory that he came up with was what he called preserve the core and change everything else. So preserving the core and then everything else, the strategy, the tactics and so on, must change. Then that core is the core value. What is the core purpose and the core values? Why do you exist? And then to fulfill that core purpose, strategies must change according to time. So this is the theory. Second book, also written by Jim Collins, is called Good to Great, and I recommend that you read both these books. The reason I'm saying that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned the core purpose of why we exist, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this when he said in Surah Al-Zariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have not created the human beings and the jinn for any purpose other than to worship us. So therefore, if we are asked to state our core purpose, how would we state that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that also for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the words of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say that surely my salah, my ibadah, my prayer, wa nusuki, my sacrifice, whatever I spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa mahyaya, and my life, wa mamati, and my death, lillahi rabbil alameen, are all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the worlds, of the different worlds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La sharika lahu. And there is no one who is a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. La sharika lahu. There is no one who is a partner with him in his uluhiyat, in his right to be worshipped. There is no one who is a partner with him in his rububiyat, in the fact that he is the creator and sustainer of the world, and that he and only he can be asked and he can only help. And no one is a partner in his asma wa sifat illahi ta'ala, that no one is a partner with him in his attributes, in his qualities. So, la sharika lahu, wa bidhalika umirtu. And to say this and to state this, and this is something that I have been commanded to state and to be in. Wa ana awwalul muslimin, and I am the first of those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, therefore, as I said, if we are asked to state our core purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated that core purpose for us. What is our core purpose? Why do we exist? Our core purpose is that my ibadah, my sacrifice, my life and my death are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has no partners. And this is my statement, this is what I state about myself, this is what I have been commanded, and I am the first of those who submit to this command. I am the first of those who accept this and who submit to this command. Ana awwalul muslimin. I am the first of the muslimin. Now this is of course the hukum that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this is the Nabi stating stating his purpose. And therefore, since we are the ummat of the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last Nabi, therefore this is also our purpose. We exist for this purpose. Now if we take this purpose as the fundamental, foundational purpose, then it gives us a very beautiful criterion to live our entire lives. Because we said, my life is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if my life is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then every single action of mine must be, it must be possible to frame it in this frame, that this is for Allah. Every single action of mine, it must fit into this frame. Is this action for Allah? If it is not for Allah, then this is not an action that I am supposed to take, that I can take. Very, very clear framework. Is this action for Allah? Because I just said, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alamin. So I have just stated that my entire life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my ibadah, is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it to show people? All kinds of ibadah. Salah is mentioned here specifically, but this refers to sawm, it refers to zakat, it refers to hajj, it refers to umrah, it refers to everything. My sacrifice, whether it's the sacrifice as in sacrificing the animal at Eid al-Adha, whether it is sacrifice as in what Allah said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, where I am spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any form of sacrifice which is really an investment in my own life, this is only and only for Lillahi ta'ala. And my life, now what can be more comprehensive than that? My life means everything. My waking, my sleeping, my entertainment, my livelihood, my business, my job, my hobby, whatever it is. Islam does not prevent us from any of these things. This is very important to understand. Islam is not saying don't do this, don't do that. Islam is just saying do whatever you want. Complete freedom. Do whatever you want as long as it fits into this criterion. Here is a criterion. And that criterion is that this should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever it is I am doing, if I can say that I am doing this for Allah, then I can do it. No problem. Now obviously, you can't say that if you are disobeying Allah. I can't say I am stealing for Allah. You can't say I am lying for Allah, I am cheating for Allah, I am, you know, doing ghibat for Allah. This is not, I am slandering for Allah. This is not possible. So therefore, I should not do slandering. So Islam is not saying don't slander, don't. No, do whatever you like. Whatever you want to do, do it. But there is a framework. This framework is it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The reason I'm saying is that because, in any case, we have a framework. Ask anyone on the street, why are you working? He'll say, I'm working for my family. I'm working so that my children will have a good life. Very good. So you have a framework. You're doing this work so that your children will have a good life. Now, in that process, you may be doing some things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approves of, and you may be doing something which Allah does not approve of. Because you feel that unless I do this, I will lose my job. Unless I do this, my business will decline and my children will suffer. So, my framework is my children should not suffer. That's the framework. It's not a bad framework. But I'm saying that this framework does not fulfill the purpose of our creation. This is not why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the raziq of your children, not you. So therefore, if I say I want good for my children, then if you apply the framework of Islam, which is to say that my life is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically the good for the children will happen. Automatically the good for children will happen. Say for example, I mean, take this issue of bribery. Now, if you take, why do people take bribes? One reason they take bribes is because they feel they should, the normal salary is not enough for them. So here is somebody who is giving a bribe, and so I take the bribe. At the end of the day, where is that bribe going? It is going to feed my family, right? So I'm feeding my family haram. I don't look at it like that. I look at it as many people, you know, like what you mentioned yesterday. People say, no, I didn't ask for the bribe. I never asked for it. He just left it and went. Yeah, he just left it and went. Now, this is many ways of fooling ourselves. For example, yesterday I mentioned the issue, the fatwa that many so-called ulama, and I say so-called ulama not because I am being disrespectful to the scholars, but because in my view, anyone who gives a fatwa like this is not a scholar. So to call him an alim is tawheen of the ulama. It's insult to the real scholars. So I will not call them ulama. I call them so-called ulama. So the so-called ulama give a fatwa to say that 15% of haram is permissible in your income. Now my simple question is, if I tell you that here is a meatloaf, 15% of it is pork, is this permissible to eat? You give me the fatwa. Because if you are applying a 15% rule, then it should apply everywhere. So 15% of a meatloaf, 15% of the food is pork. Is this permissible? Pork is haram. Is it permissible? 15% of time, if you take 365 years in the 365 days in the year, 15% of that is roughly one or two days here and there. 15% of that is roughly 52 days. Right, 52 days, because 15 days per 100, so 300, that's 45 days, and then from 65 you take out 15, so 15%, that comes to about 52. So roughly one day a week is 15% of the time. So supposing I say I am married, and one day a week I will fornicate, is that acceptable? I'm not being unfaithful to my wife, I'm not being unfaithful to my husband for 7 days a week. No, only one day a week. 15%, because 15% haram is jais. So, will you accept this, that your wife or your husband is being unfaithful to you one day per week, you know, every Sunday? Is that acceptable? I say 15% of, I'm having a drink, what are you drinking? No, it's not alcohol, this is only 15% is alcohol. In this cola, 15% is alcohol. Is it acceptable? So then how is 15% haram in income acceptable? How is 15% interest acceptable? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not declare war on the fornicator. Allah did not declare war on the one who eats pork. Allah did not declare war on the one who drinks alcohol. Allah did not declare war on the one who gambles. Not that these are good deeds, these are haram, these are punishable, but Allah did not declare war on those. Allah declared war on the one who is dealing with interest. And now you have our so-called alim who gives a fatwa to say 15% of that interest income is jais in your overall income. Then how is this fatwa valid, tell me? Unless you have set your brain for a vacation, how do you accept such a fatwa to say that 15% of income is halal, 15% of haram in your halal income is jais, when you do not accept that 15% of pork is jais, or 15% of alcohol is jais, or 15% of time spent in fornication is jais? How do you accept that? You accept it because life is not based on inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alamin. If that was the case, you would say, no, I don't even need a fatwa. And if somebody gives me a fatwa like this, I will take the fatwa and throw it back in his face and say, you are a fool, go and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you fall into Jahannam and take people with you. This is rubbish, because how can I say that 15% of haram income is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I say that accepting a declaration of war from Allah is lillahi ta'ala? Hey, how is it possible? It's completely oxymoronic, idiotic argument. But that happens because our life is not based on inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati illahi rabbil alameen. So therefore, the one giving the fatwa gives the fatwa. The one accepting the fatwa is very happy because he has now got a compliant alim who gives him a fatwa. And so this foolishness and this idiocy is propagated, and people think they are doing a good thing because of this. Allah gave us a framework, very clear framework. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is how you should live your life. Whatever you do, as I said, there is absolutely no problem. You want to go bungee jumping? Go bungee. Just ask yourself, is this for, does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You want to go skydiving? You want to go deep sea diving? You do whatever you want. Does this please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? I go deep sea diving, I look at the great Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and you are making tasbih the whole time that you are under the water, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Absolutely no problem. But if you apply this framework, then automatically it saves you from all disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla. Anytime I have any issue where I have to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, issue of bribes, people give things, people think they change the name of something, it makes it jais. You call it speed money. So it becomes jais. It becomes jais. A bribe is a bribe. You call it whatever you want. Absolutely no problem. Just because you change a name, are you trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah? So very, and all of this happens because of this. Because even the one who is giving this bribe, or even the one who is taking this bribe. Now imagine, remember, for them, they are doing it for a good reason. Right? He's not doing it. He's not saying, I'm giving a bribe to destroy my akhirah. He's not doing that. He's saying, I have to give it. He's making all this, fantasy to say, no, but you see, without this, I cannot survive. Without this, my business cannot survive. Without this, my children will die of starvation or some rubbish, whatever he wants. So the point is, he's got some excuse. He's doing it for a so-called good reason. But he's doing it because he's not applying this framework of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is not applying the framework to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for his ibadah. Allah told me, declare this for anyone, for yourself and for the world, to say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alameen. Declare this for yourself, declare this for the world. And as far as you and your children and your family and your well-being and so on and so forth is concerned, remember, Inna allaha huwa razzaqu dhul quwwati al-mateen. Allah does not need you to do haram to feed you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures do not end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wealth does not end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat does not end. Allah's power does not end. Why are you worried? Why are you worried? If you are saying that my life is for the one who is the Rabbul Alameen, will that life end? Will that life be destroyed if you live it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it possible? This is a complete lack of iman. This is total absence of iman if somebody believes this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you declare this and you live your life according to this. To make that life the best life in the world, that is something for me to do. Leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah did not say, live your life, look after yourself, do whatever you feel like doing. No. Live your life for the pleasure of Allah alone. And Allah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna Allah huwa razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. Wa ma khalaqtu al-jinna wal-insa illa liya'budun. Ma uridu minhum min rizqin wa ma uridu an yut'imun. Inna Allah huwa razzaqu dhul quwwati al-matin. The tafsir of these ayat is, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. Very clearly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying this. I created you for this purpose. Live your life, declare that this is the core purpose of your existence. And to look after you is my job. To look after you is my job. Allah never said look after yourself. Think about this. What is a more beautiful thing? What is a more comforting thing? Nowhere in the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nowhere in the seerah and sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did they ever say, look after yourself, look after your family, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot do that for you. You have to take care of yourself. Never, never, never. And therefore, I remind myself and you, this is the purpose of our creation. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. This is why we were created. This is why we are here. And this is what we need to do with ourselves. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهُ